and welcome to another episode of the Sisters in Christ podcast. I am Pamela Ferguson, and today my beautiful sister in Christ, Tamara Evans. Welcome, Tamara.
Thank you, Pam.
And I will continue with the topic, what does God see in you that you do not see in yourself? This will be our final episode on this two-part series. Now, during the last episode, we discussed how Gideon doubted himself, even after hearing what the angel of the Lord said to him, and how sometimes we, like Gideon, focus tomorrow on our limitations instead of our God-given potential. And we talked about how it's so important for parents to speak life and to encourage their children, because Gideon thought of himself as being the weakest and his clan as being the least. And mm-hmm. that was probably because of the circumstances and environment in which he lived. And we also discussed, Tamara, how Gideon initially questioned God's choice mm-hmm. of using him, and how we ourselves sometimes disqualify ourselves from God's calling because we look at our inadequacy, our limitation. We don't have enough education. We don't fit the part. And now today, tomorrow, we're going to discuss some of those unique gifts and talents that lie in every one of us, even though we may not see it ourselves. And then we're going to look at how focusing on God's perspective can give us the courage to step into new roles and challenges, all for the glory of God. And then we're going to close out discussing how we can tune out those negative voices in our heads and begin to align our lives and our purpose with God's perspective and view of us.
Yes.
So, listening audience, it's that time to get your coffee, get your tea, whatever your favorite drink is, and join Tamara and I as we unpack this powerful scripture passage where we talk about what God sees in us that we sometimes do not see in ourselves. We're going to delve into the scriptures to see what God is saying to us through his word. Mm-hmm. Welcome again, Tamara.
Yes, I'm happy to be here. A wonderful conversation on Gideon. Mm-hmm. Being a mighty man of God, someone who had to face his fears and overcome his fears with faith.
Let's discuss tomorrow. What are some of those unique gifts and strength that God has placed in each and every one of us, even though some of us don't even see it? What are some of those gifts and talents and strength that God has placed in all of us?
When we look at the ministry and life of the church, we see that God has given to his people various gifts and talents. Some have the ability to minister in song, and the way that they minister in song would impact your life almost the same way as someone ministering in the word. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. They have that ability to get to the heart of a person's life and make changes through their singing. And that's a gift from God. Mm-hmm. And some people have the gift of administration, that they can get into a particular organization and they can see where the weaknesses are, and they can pull various gifts and talents together and execute at a high standard. That's a gift from God.
Yeah.
We can look at also Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, mm-hmm. and the spirit of excellence that rested upon them, and their abilities to operate in the Babylonian culture mm-hmm. at a high standard, because God gave them the gifts and talents to be able to execute their task for his honor and glory.
Yeah, I think I've met persons who felt that why am I here? There's nothing in me. And I believe each one of us, God has created in each one of us purpose. He said in his word in Ephesians 2 and 10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We all have a purpose, even though we may act or we may not see it, but God has created us for a purpose. And it's up to us to seek him out,
yeah,
to ask him, to have that, to be in that position where, not downtrodden to the point where we are so depressed and we don't know where to turn, but when we feel like we don't know what God has called us to do, to ask him, to pray and seek him out. God, what is it that you would have me to do? And I think whatever it is that God has us to do, it has to be done to his glory and his honor, if it's going to be fruitful, if it's going to be a blessing to others.
Yeah, we can execute and do things in our own strength. And to the world, it can be at a very high standard. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit,
yes, mm-hmm,
to be able to transform somebody's life, mm-hmm, while you're doing that work is something that comes from the Lord. And I think that's a struggle for believers. You know, we can get acquire skills and we can go and do something. And to the world, they put us on a mountaintop. But when we look at the lives that have been impacted by what we did, was it transformative for the kingdom advancement, for the glory of God? Or was it for our own selfish ambition, mm-hmm, and for us to be glorified rather than God?
And I like what you said about transforming lives. Yeah, you could see somebody and they're so good, and sometimes we want to be like them. We want to emulate them. We look at them and say, oh, I wish I could sing like that person. If only I had the talent to speak like that person. And maybe not that person is doing it to God's glory and honor, but it's a difference when we are doing it for God's glory and his honor, and we can help to transform lives for the kingdom. And I think that is so, so very important. And then Tamara, I think there's something in us that in all of us, we are the light of the world. We were created to be the light,
yes,
of the world. I wear contacts and I have glasses. And when I was younger, glasses? Oh, no way. When I came back from university, I was in church and I was reading off the big screen. It was praise and worship and I was singing off the big screen and I couldn't see it. So I asked the person beside me, I said, can you see that clearly? And they said, yeah, but I couldn't see it clearly. And I'm like, okay, time to go to the doctor. So I went and they said, oh yeah, you need glasses. Well, I never wore my glasses because call it vanity, call it whatever you want. I wasn't interested in wearing any glasses. So I wore contacts, right? But now I've embraced glasses. I love it. Yeah. I love my
it's
glasses.
It's fashionable now. It makes a difference.
All this vanity and vexation of the spirit. But I put these on now and I look at you and it's so clear. Mm-hmm. It's like, Tamara, you're beautiful. And that's what being the light of the world, yeah, is to me. The Bible says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And that's what we ought to be.
Yeah.
Lights of the world.
And that gives us, in some way, a comfort that when we do allow our gifts and talents to be used, mm-hmm, for the furtherance of the kingdom of God, that he will be seen. John says, he must increase,
yeah,
and I must decrease. Yeah. And so it's important that the light is shining wide so men may see our good works and do what? Glorify the Father in heaven. So it's just not to see us and to see our good works.
But tomorrow that could be difficult for some. You know, you are in ministry. If you look at a lot of the superstars out there who are singing secular music, a lot of them started out in the church.
Yeah.
I mean, you are in ministry and you are singing to the glory and honor of God and people love you and they're approaching you and they want to give you this contract and they ask you to sing. Like, how do you stay grounded to say, you know, this is something that I'm doing for the glory and honor of God? And doing it for the glory and honor of God means sometimes that you cannot take on every invitation, no, that come your way. That can be hard for some people to stay grounded and continue to do what God has called them to do for his glory and honor.
Yeah, it's knowing that my life is a life lived in submission to the will of God, and that the doors that are open for me is because He opened it so I can present my gifts in some cases before kings.
That's awesome.
And in presenting those gifts before kings, I'm a representation and a witness for Jesus Christ in those situations. And once I know that, then I live that life carefully. And we're gonna be tempted, because pride, you know, we want to be seen, we want to peek out, but the Holy Spirit is there to constrain us and to focus us on why we are doing what we are doing and why we're here. Mm-hmm. Who opened the door? Who allowed us into this space? God did. Why?
And we have to be conscious of that.
Yes.
So that when we see the devil creeping in and we feel ourselves looking, okay, pride setting in, we got to say, okay, now, Lord, help me, Father. Just let you increase and me decrease. We have to be conscious of that and constantly living to renew our spirit in God and asking Him to help us.
I heard a statement recently said, I can't remember who said it, when you feel like being seen, hide. And when you feel like hiding, shine. So that's a cue for us.
Yes.
That we have that urge that I need to be seen. They need to know this is me. Go run and hide.
I always remember our pastor emeritus, Pastor Vaughn Cash, preached the sermon. He says, it's better for you to humble yourself.
Yeah.
So that's why you need to be conscious and constantly praying to God, than for God to have to humble you. So Tamara, then, does looking at things from God's perspective give us the courage to step into new roles or challenges?
It's a matter of prayer. Mm-hmm. And I say that in the sense of, you know, many times we go to the Lord, we go with a laundry list of things that we want Him to do for us. But in instances where He's calling us to maybe a new role or to increase responsibility or to broaden our assignment, we have to, in a space where we need to recommit ourselves to the work and recommit ourselves to the nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And I think when we see how Jesus did that, He knew what His assignment was. And when it came to the time where He had to literally go through the most difficult part of His journey, He had to contend with God about that. He had to go to Him and really say, Lord, okay, it's here. What can you do to ease this or to make this different for me? And obviously the answer wasn't coming the way He wanted it, because He went back at least 2-3 times. And He had to get to the point where He had to say, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And what I love about that part, the Bible said the angels came and they what? Strengthened Him.
Yeah.
And that's why I said it is a matter of prayer.
Yeah.
Because for you to embrace the new season, the new journey, the broadened scope of your assignment, you need the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, the strength of the Lord to go into. Mm-hmm. And we see that with Gideon. What did the angel of the Lord tell him? Mm-hmm. Go in the what?
Strength.
In the strength. Mm-hmm. And it was not his strength, God's strength. So that example with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane is a perfect example of, I have an assignment I'm afraid of walking into. I need to talk to God about this.
And for me, looking at it from God's perspective reminds me that He sees the bigger picture.
Oh, yes.
See, when I was younger, my mom would say stuff, but I wink a benya before a mustache, because she knew better than me, of course.
And right.
She did. But God knew even further than her, because He has this aerial view of our lives. He knows our beginning and He knows our end. And I had to get to that point when I was a younger Christian, I never liked praying for God's will because I felt that God was going to keep me from what I want. I wanted some things. And I think, like, oh, God, I can't pray his will because he's going to keep me from what I want. But I got a revelation reading the devotional with that passage of scripture. I think somewhere in Matthew it says, your father love you, your earthly father love you. He will not give you stone to eat, how much more your heavenly father. And they did a story that really brought that home to me. That God wants the best for us.
Yes.
This is not like a God who just want to beat us down and don't want us to live a life where we thrive and where we're thriving and where we're successful. He wants the best for us. And I think the assurance that we can have is he has the bigger picture.
Yeah.
So if we focus on him, he knows what's going to happen and he is going to direct us. We can only see so far. And I mean, we still can't even see right in front of us because we are looking at something now and something can happen.
Yes.
Within a split second, it can happen and change it. But God knows. And so that's why we have to learn to trust him. Although it can be difficult. Like when you go into stuff, you quickly want to react to it, but we have to pause and learn to trust him because he knows what's going to happen. And it's better for him to direct us knowing what's going to happen than for we to take it on ourselves.
Yeah. When we look at Joseph and his journey, Joseph was in prison. He was falsely accused. His brothers betrayed him. Mm-hmm. But God had purpose for him. His assignment was difficult, but when he was faced with a meeting with his brothers after he ascended to high position in Egypt, and he told them, you meant this for wrong, for evil, but God meant it for good. Why? So that many lives would be saved. And many times we look at our circumstances and we think it's all about us. And you mentioned about God seeing the bigger picture. It's beyond us. Many other people can be impacted by an assignment that we have. And we think it's about us just executing that assignment and doing good for God. But the lives that we connect with, the people we minister to. Recently, I've been going through an experience with my brother. He had a stroke a few years ago. And I thought it was just about him. Then I thought it was about him and my family. But I realized in managing his plan of care, it's about the security officer I meet at a healthcare facility that helped me to get him in the car. And I was so overwhelmed. I went to a local restaurant and got him something to eat and tell him thank you. It was about a lady who fell and had a condition from that fall, and meeting her in the clinic and encouraging her and seeing her a few weeks later much better and saying to her that God is good. It's about people you meet in and going in and out of care that you can pause and pray for, hearing their story. So it's way beyond us. But if we stop and we allow the Holy Spirit to help us to see it through the eyes of Christ, we can now embrace our cross. Mm-hmm. We can embrace the assignment. We can face our fears and we can see the good that God sees in the most difficult circumstances we may face.
And doesn't it change your perspective when you get in moments like this? You start to think all of those little things that you get all worked up about before, it's not important. it's like when you start to operate in ministry, and you mention those two stories, you don't need to be a pastor or someone with a PhD to do the things that you did. It's just every day. This is what God has called us to. Then when you start to operate in it, I don't know about you, but I look at life differently.
Yeah.
And I look at some of the things like, I'm not even going to concern myself about that because that's not important when you start to focus on God and the people of God and what he wants you to do.
It's a part of growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's understanding his heart. It's understanding you're here to be used by Him to accomplish His work and to be used for His good pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Gideon had a problem, as we have read, with self-doubt.
Yeah.
He looked down on himself. What role, Tamara, does faith play in helping us to overcome self-doubt? Does doubt, do Christians have instances of self-doubt?
Of course we do. Mm-hmm. I often pray a simple prayer, Lord, help my unbelief. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes when we see things through the natural eye, it appears much bigger than it really is. We have a big, big God that we serve, a sovereign God, majestic God, all-powerful, all-knowing. We tend to forget the God mm-hmm. that we serve and the God we call Father, the Holy Spirit in us, and we look at our circumstances. The enemy has us focused on whatever this problem may be, and every scenario that can play out that excludes the grace of God in it. And so when we talk about how does faith come into play, faith is, this is what I see with my eyes. This is what I hear a report maybe. This is my experience. Gideon and his people, they were being oppressed. Mm-hmm. People were coming in and raiding and they were living in fear. Yeah. That's their experience. But I know I serve, my father serve a God who is able to deliver.
Yes.
Who is able to intervene. And you remember, you recall the times, the instances where he has proven himself to be the deliverer, to be the provider, to be the healer. And you go back to his word and you let that build you up. And so you begin now by faith to see through a spiritual lens, a spiritual eyes, what your natural eyes cannot see.
For me, faith reminds me that God is in control. Whenever, and like you mentioned, it's not that it comes easy.
No.
It's over time, trial and error, you know, not doing it right the first time and then trying again. And you look back and you're like, whoa, God, look at where you brought me from. It reminds me that God is in control. And when I begin to trust in God and not my limitations or not the negative talk or not the self-doubt, then I could step forward. I could step forward and feel that I can do what he has called me to do. One of my favorite scriptures, I mean, my very favorite scriptures is Proverbs chapter 3:5-6. Trust mm-hmm. in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. And I think that right there is important for me, because sometimes we tend to want to go with what we think is the right way. God said, my thoughts are not like your thoughts.
My ways.
Right. Yeah. So when I learn to trust him, and I say I learn to, because I'm still learning to trust him in every situation, that's what faith does to me. Help me to recognize that God is in control, Pam. And so whatever you are going through, if you learn to trust him, he will guide you and he will see you.
And he'll give you the grace to walk through it. Sometimes we get to a place where we have to block out the noise of the enemy. You have to just say, I am not listening to you anymore. I am not receiving this negativity anymore. I am going to make the first step. Mm-hmm. And many times when you make that first step, you would find in some way it's a resistance to the enemy. You know, the Bible says resist the enemy and he shall flee from you.
Resist him.
And so the enemy is the one who's holding you from moving forward in faith.
You mentioned negativity and blocking out those negative voices. Tamara, help our audience to understand, what do we have to do? What can we do to block out the voices of negativity that some of us are plagued with when we try to move forward or step forward for God?
I mentioned prayer, but another one is praise.
Okay.
Praising God in the middle of all of the, I would say, lies the enemy would come at you with to cause you to live in fear, to hinder you from advancing the kingdom work. We talked about how important it is to tarry in prayer, but it's important to have a lifestyle of praise and worship. When hardship came to Job, he worshiped. When we're going through our trials or when we're living in a place of fear, we need to praise. Because it's recalling to mind the goodness of God, the love of God, the care of God, the power of God. And that puts us in a place where we are more heavenly minded, more having our mind fixed on things above than drawn into the cares of the world and feeding our fears from the cares of the world. But if we are focused on the Lord and we're praising Him, we're worshiping Him, we're creating an atmosphere where those fears and anxieties and lies, they would be at bay.
I'd add one more scripture. Know the word. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
Oh,
and I think when we study God's word, we understand the truth of the word and what He says that we are, and that will help us to trust Him more. He said, I know the plans I have for you. And so we can rest assured when we study His word that we will gain strength understanding Him. Tomorrow we are out of time.
Wow.
But before we go tomorrow, I want you to close us out in prayer.
Yeah, let's pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise for this wonderful opportunity to engage in the things of your word. And we pray, Father, that those who are listening to this program would be edified. They would be challenged to lean into you, to trust you, to believe that you have a good plan for them and that you are the same God. You're not someone different today than you were yesterday. You are mighty. You are powerful. You're able to deliver. You see them, and Father, you see us. And so we pray that your hand of guidance and peace would be with them. And as we all look to what you have for us, whether it's a broadening of an assignment, whether it's facing our fears, whatever it may be, Lord, we pray for your peace that surpasses all understanding, because your word said it will guard our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And we pray for your grace, because we know, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for us, because your power is made perfect in our weakness. So we want to say thank you. We praise you. We love you. We adore you. And we just ask you to continue to bless and keep our listening audience and help them to be the women that you've called them to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tamara. Thank you, listening audience. Let's just remember that Gideon's story reminds us that God's calling isn't based on our strength and ability, but on His. So I encourage you, listening audience, to shift your focus from your limitations and turn it to God's power and His purpose and step boldly into all that He has called you to be. Until next time, trust in the Lord. Mm-hmm.